Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of Atlanta Business Radio. This is a spotlight series that we've been cultivating here at the Business Radio X studio. This is Veterans Connect Radio. This is a radio show designed to spotlight veterans, the entrepreneurship, the leadership, and current trends that they're taking on out there as they transition out of the military. I'm your host today, Ryan Red Hawk McPherson, and alongside my executive producer, Alex Gossett-Shiflett, and co-host, Brandon Skolnick. How are you, Brandon?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Thank you.
Good to have you back in the co-host seat once again, and another episode of Veterans Connect Radio.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to be here. Number four.
That's right.
Episode number four. Right along, aren't we?
Right, yeah. So let's introduce our guests here today. Let's go around the room. First, say hello to Tanya D. Bryant. She's a retired 21-year veteran who was in two war campaigns and is now an accomplished author, speaker, and trainer. How are you, Tanya?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So talk to us a little bit about your book writing, your speaking engagements, and what are you educating people on?
Oh, wow. So transitioning from the military basically is what my book is all about. So 21 years of service, took my uniform off, and I had to figure it out all over again. Mm-hmm. Became an entrepreneur. So I teach women how to market themselves, and I also teach them how to apply makeup, because I am also a makeup artist as well.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, we look forward to diving deeper into that and your background and your experiences in and out of the military. But let's also introduce to the program today a gentleman named John W. Phillips. And he had a distinguished career in the military and now as well in the civilian service. How are you, John?
I'm doing well.
All right. And you're with Boots to Loafers.
Boots to Loafers, yes.
And that Again. Was a book that you wrote and helping veterans transition. And now you're also getting out there and speaking to groups and getting involved that way as well.
That's correct. I went through the whole transition process a long time ago, but it hasn't changed.
Right.
So I decided to do something about that and help those that are coming behind me.
Mm-hmm. And you're also involved with another organization called Vetlanta.
Correct. I'm the vice chairman of Vetlanta, and I actually started Vetlanta about 3 years ago when it's kind of evolved into what it is today.
So you're one of the co-founders of the, or the founder?
Well, I had the idea, and then I had a young former Marine captain that I kind of recruited as my project manager. And
okay.
I put him to work, and David Wanamaker, and we kind of pulled it all together, and it's really turned into quite an organization.
It is. We've heard about it here many, many times on Veterans Connect Radio, and you guys have events every quarter, and one coming up tomorrow, is that right?
Correct.
The Q2 Summit, April 12th from 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. down at the 12 Hotel. I'll be in attendance. Brandon, I think you'll be there as well.
I will be there.
Good.
Looking forward to that and connecting with other veterans. But we'll talk to John a little bit more, but let's also introduce the program today, Garrett Cathcart with Team Red, White, and Blue Atlanta Chapter. How
Absolutely.
Are you, Garrett?
Thank you very much. I'm well.
All right. Tell our listeners a little bit about your background and how'd you get involved with Team Red, White, and Blue.
Sure. So I served 9 years in the U.S. Army, a couple of tours in Iraq and one in Afghanistan. Came back and then moved to Los Angeles to work in corporate America, and you know, maybe get back in transition later in the program, but just miss purpose and miss kind of that sense of camaraderie. So I found Team Red, White, and Blue, whose mission statement is to connect veterans to the community through physical and social activity. And through a series of events, I now work here full time as a regional director for the Southeastern United States.
So you're not only helping veterans in Atlanta, but all over the Southeast.
That's
getting
correct.
Involved with Team Red, White,
Absolutely.
Blue. And it's growing as an organization, right?
It is. We're just over 102,000 members nationally, growing by about 115 a day throughout the country, 130, mm-hmm. 181 locations.
That's fantastic. I've been out to a few Team Red, White, and Blue events myself. We did WAD for Warriors
awesome.
Together. That was a great workout. But you're right. It's a great way to connect socially through physical activity and also give back. You guys are constantly out there giving back to the community as well.
Absolutely. So, and I mean, I'm sure they both can attest as well. One of the things you miss when you leave service is you know, that sense of community, that sense of purpose. So we found by getting folks together, and whether it's working out or doing community service projects or just doing a social, like going to a Braves game.
Yes.
It's great to be around folks that kind of understand some of your experiences. Even you don't have to say a word about, you know, where you've been and what you've done, but you just, you know, they get you, right?
Right.
That's an important thing to have when you come back and rejoin the civilian society.
Yeah, and it's important to have that sense of purpose.
Right? Oh, yeah. So let me ask some, Garrett. When was there a pivotal moment that when you were doing medical device sales that you said,
yeah.
Okay. This isn't my passion.
Yeah, no. It was fairly dramatic. So I left the military. I 3 years overseas, all of them kind of on the ground doing the high adrenaline, door kicking stuff. Finished up as a general's aide de camp. And I thought it was time. All my 20s were at war, my 30s were time for something else. So I left to go find my fortunes. Ended up in Los Angeles in medical device sales. Working in Beverly Hills, which
exciting.
Is
yeah.
a culture change for sure. Sales. And now, you know, I'm in a position where I'm spending my time with neuro and orthopedic surgeons trying to get them to like me and tell them stories about, you know, and it's all about sales and the bottom line and profit. And I should have been happy. I lived on the ocean and you know, it was great, but there's just something nagging at me and I didn't know why or why I wasn't happy. And, mm-hmm. you know, to the outside world, I was successful, but to me, I missed purpose. I missed doing what I believed in. I missed, you know, you take it for granted about these everyone you're surrounded with when you're in the service, even if you don't like them personally, that, you know, there's all a common cause and, you know, there's certain things that are understood. And so my buddy might say, hey, let's go to this. Have you heard Team Red, White, and Blue? I said, yeah, you know, those guys run around in circles with flags. It's cool, but I don't, you know, not my thing.
Yeah.
And then I went to an event and it was workout and then afterwards grabbing coffee and talking and hanging out. And it was just, you know, what I would imagine a lot of folks go to like a VFW for, right? Just for that sense of camaraderie, but rather than kind of going to one spot, you know, wherever we're in the community. And I knew like, this is it. This is my purpose now. And so mm-hmm. through beginning more and more involved, I got the determination to come work here full time. And so once I got the call without hesitation, I packed my Jeep and drove from LA to Atlanta.
Wow. Never been to Atlanta before?
Once, 14 years old for the Olympics. That was
okay.
It. So that's my impression of Atlanta.
Now your home is Atlanta. You're helping veterans all over the Southeast. Back to you, Tanya. Why Atlanta for you? Are you from Atlanta?
Wow. No, I'm not from Atlanta. So I was on active duty for 5 years in El Paso, Texas. And basically I closed my eyes and put my finger on the map and said, this is where I'm going.
Okay.
It was actually between Atlanta or Virginia. Atlanta had the business market, the economy was pretty good in Atlanta. So that's why I decided to choose Atlanta.
Yeah, and Atlanta's known for that, but they're not known for a veterans community. I know that one of the missions of Atlanta is to make Atlanta a veteran destination, not only for businesses, but for people as well, because they know it's a veteran supportive community. Is that right. What you found when you first came to Atlanta, that this, even though not labeled a veteran town, but the supportive community here?
There was some support. And what I did when I got off of active duty, I actually went into the Army Reserves. So I had my support system coming into the Army Reserves, which is a little bit different from active duty. So it was a little culture shock as well. But I still had that community to support me in my endeavors. So yes, there was a sense of community for veterans.
Yeah, no, and I found that as well. I'm born and raised in Atlanta, and Atlanta is certainly my hometown, and only took many times away to come back to find out Atlanta's right where I want to be.
Oh, yes.
But you've written a book, Red Glory, The Day I Took Off the Uniform.
Yes.
And that book was written because it was a passion of yours
to
talk people through that experience for you.
Yes.
So what was that book writing process for you like?
Wow. I had a speaking engagement and they needed a bio. So I had my bio professionally done. And when I read my life on paper, I was like, wow, I have a story. I have a story that needs to be told that's noteworthy. So after doing that, I start writing.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wanted to write a book in my lifetime. I just didn't know what it was about.
Right, the subject matter.
Yes. But then I went to a conference called VWISE. It's for women veteran entrepreneurs. And after that, they kept stressing how you should be proud of the fact that you were in the military. So by writing this book, I wanted to go over my military experience and also talk about my entrepreneurship as well.
Mm-hmm. And do you find there's a connection between your military experience and entrepreneurship that you were able to succeed in starting your own company and because of your experience in the military?
Oh, most definitely. You have to have that leadership and that drive. And having that structure background in the military definitely helped me within my business to stay structured and to continue on with business.
All right. And you're also the owner of Just Lovely Living, LLC. Talk
yes.
to us about that, please.
So my business has been growing organically. I started off with Imagine Me Makeup Artistry. So I started off as a makeup artist. And from there, I got this idea of having a product with my makeup artistry. And probably about 2 years ago, I got a phone call from family members. My mother was in the hospital. And during that transition with my mother in the hospital, I was thinking all those nuggets she used to share with me. And I remember her saying something about lipstick. She said, never leave home without your lipstick because you never know who might be checking you out. I was like, wow, okay. Lipstick.
Good advice.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, that's the product that I'm going to have with my makeup artistry. And as time went on, everything just kind of fell into place. But at the end of the day, I knew it wasn't about the lipstick. It's really about a lifestyle and teaching women how to celebrate their grace, their beauty, and their style.
Wow.
So that's how it all just came full circle. Changed the name to Just Lovely Living.
And then here we are today. Where can our listeners find information about your book or Just Lovely Living?
Yes, you can go to Tanya, that's T-A-N-Y-A, dbryant.com, and you can pre-order. The launch is actually April the 18th, and I have been taking pre-orders for the past 2 months. So that's TanyaDBryant.com.
Good. I never leave home without my lipstick.
Thank you, Brandon, for sharing. So what advice would you give a veteran who's transitioning today out of the service and into either a career or entrepreneurship? What are those must-haves or don't-dos or kind of best practices from your perspective?
Number one, never give up. Keep trying until you find something that you love. It took me a while. It took me almost 15 years to kind of figure it all out, to say, this is what I want to do. When you first come out, sometimes it is kind of difficult to find a job, even though they say there's a lot of support as far as finding employment. Sometimes it can be difficult because we're overqualified at times. But keep going. Never give up. And find something that you actually love.
Right. That's kind of what, back to Garrett said, a passion. He wasn't happy in the medical service, sales devices and stuff. But find something you're passionate about. And you're still passionate about giving back.
Well, absolutely. And you know, finding a job is one thing. But finding a job that you can be passionate about is something else. So a lot of folks, when they come out of the service, and you know, it is, they are passionate about it. It's a lifestyle. And to go from that to a job that just to get a paycheck is sometimes is part of the difficulty in transitioning.
Yes. But luckily, we have another book that's out there that John has written, John Phillips, Boots to Loafers, Finding Your New True North. But that's designed for those veterans who want to get into corporate America or go into the workforce as opposed to starting their own business.
Correct. It's really the culmination of this this is my experience, what I experienced when I actually retired from the Army in 1999. And back in those days, there was barely the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically had to figure it out. And also the transition process was really nothing to brag about. It was a joke, really. So I got into corporate America and started taking notes. And those notes turned into a notebook. And I said, all right, I got to do something about this because this is crazy. I was not prepared for corporate America at all. Other than I had a degree.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what made up this book. So this is everything I wish I had known when I got out. And it talks about how you prepare for your transition,
mm-hmm.
how you eventually will, you have to transform yourself. You have to go through a rebranding of yourself. And then you've got to reintegrate yourself back into society. So the analogy I use a lot of time is, you can't be a knuckle-dragging Neanderthal and expect to get a job in an interview because it's not going to happen.
Well, that does you good on the front lines if you're a grunt.
Yeah. It'll do you great if you're a grunt.
Yeah.
But you've got to change who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't effectively do that, then you'll never get past the first phone interview, let alone in-person interview. Yes. So,
yeah, that's really good advice. Is there maybe a couple of other lessons that you can kind of be easily throw out there for veterans that are currently transitioning out of the military?
You know, I think Tanya hit on a couple of key points, I think, and I kind of rephrase that is one thing that I always tell veterans is you know more than you think you do.
Absolutely.
And never, ever forget that.
Okay.
The problem a veteran or even an active duty service member runs into is they don't know how to effectively translate what they have done into civilian terms. So when they're sitting at a table in an interview and they're talking with an HR person or even the hiring manager, they've got to be able to effectively communicate with that person on what did they actually do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they can't do it. So take, for example, your basic 11 Bravo infantry guy,
mm-hmm.
who's got to go from point A to point B under hostile fire.
Right.
And he happens to be a squad leader or something.
Okay.
There is a complete thought process that person has to go through in order to get everybody from point A to point B. It involves leadership. It involves management decisions. It involves key critical decision points that have to be met. The whole thought process, So how do you take that and now put that into a corporate setting and tell your story when it comes to an interview? So the interviewer, who probably doesn't even own a pair of boots, let alone has had muddy boots time, can actually understand where you're coming from. That is the challenge. And every military person, I think, runs into that problem. I run into that problem.
Sure. If I could just tag on to that, I mean, that is one of the largest kind of issues. And I was a cavalry scout. So, you know, the main kind of point of that is reconnaissance and direct action, door kicking, creeping around, you know, past lines. And when you look at that, you know, when some of those guys are going into an interview, they don't know how to translate those skills. So, to the person in HR, like, so you know how to kill people and you know, do these things. How does that help me? But to John's point, and when I, you know, a lot of my guys call me and they're looking for jobs. They say, sir, what, you know, I don't know. Look at my resume. I need help. But, you know, I talk about project management. You know, someone, you give them a timeline, it will get done, right? Leadership is leadership. So a lot of these folks are incredibly way too humble to talk about, oh, I can lead a squad of 12 people and I will get it done no matter what. You know, I know guys, a buddy of mine is a Green Beret at the Purple Heart. Doesn't put any of that on his resume.
Why not?
Because he doesn't want to, I don't want to brag about it.
You don't want to lead with that.
Yeah. Because, you know, and I'm like, dude, you should probably put that on your resume.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know.
It's part of the culture, though.
It is.
I think
that's
it's a cultural thing.
Quiet professionals.
We are never, when you're got a uniform on, you never talk about what you did. Because you will be labeled as a careerist. And you'll get drummed out eventually.
Spotlight Ranger.
Right. That's what's going to happen. Right. It's always what we did. And I talk about this in the book is you've got to get to the point where you're changing I to we.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tough to do. The other thing that's very tough to do is actually say, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah. No, right. Ask
I'm
for help.
Tell you.
The pride comes up. We've talked about that a few times.
Can't do it. Yeah. Exactly. But you got to get over that.
Right. Now, John, from your perspective, you know, military guys, we've talked about this, Brandon, a few times on the show, love to boast that they are in the military, be it stickers on their truck or what they wear.
Yeah.
Do you find that sometimes they need to tone that down when they go into an interview with a corporate America HR professional?
I can tell you when I've been into interviews, I'm at the point right now where, so I have 20 years in the Army. I just ended my career with Coca-Cola. So I have a 17-year career there in corporate finance. So I'm actually looking for my third job.
All right.
just kind of throwing that out there.
We're hiring here at Business Radio X if you're interested.
So, I think that the thing that I throw out there immediately is I tell the interviewers that I'm not going to talk about my military career unless they really want to know something.
Unless they ask.
Yeah.
You're not going to boast a lead with it or you know, wear it on your shirt as you're walking in.
I'll talk about it if they want to. And it's not like I did a bunch of sneaky poopy stuff or anything like that. It's just, I have so much experience in the corporate world now that I can rely on that. That, believe it or not, I do have to reach back many, many years, many decades, because everything I did back then is applicable today.
Mm-hmm.
Leader, like you said, leadership is leadership. Management is management.
Communication is communication.
It doesn't change.
Well, what I always tell folks is, you know, you can't let your military experience define you. You let it shape you, right? Because a lot of folks from that 1 or 2 years they spend overseas, it's determines the rest of their life.
Yes.
And that's part of the issue. And so, you know, people can be proud of their service. They can wear, you know, have the bumper stickers, but don't let it define you. That was a finite point in your life, 4, 5, 6 years, 10 years, 21 years, 20. But there's a lot of life left to live.
That's what I say. I always say it was just a notch on my belt as I go on the path of life. The military service that I had was just it. It's not going to be who I am or what I am for the rest of my life.
But it's giving you some incredible experiences.
And a big part of who I am.
Absolutely. And Jim Collins is a great author. He wrote From Good to Great. And he's donated some of his time and wisdom to Team Red, White, and Blue. And one of the things he said to us was, you know, you probably do your best work after, you know, after 40, because you've got the experience, your network has expanded, and the people who answer your phone calls have a little more influence, right? So you can kind of do some of the most meaningful work 40 and beyond. So for a lot of folks, that's after the military, right?
Yeah.
So you have all of these wonderful experiences, I mean, leadership experiences, things that are really once in a lifetime. But what do you do with that?
Right?
Do you come home and just, you know, watch war movies and go tell war stories and drink beer and wish for the good old days? Or do you take those experiences and move forward and do something, whether it's in corporate America, nonprofit, your community?
Yeah.
And that's where kind of, you know, and Team Red, White, Blue, along with many other wonderful nonprofits, are, I think, trying to change the narrative of veterans is that, You know, we don't need pity. They are assets. They are, you want to hire them because they will be good for your company, not because you're patriotic and want to give somebody a break.
Yeah. Right.
And that's kind of the difference.
Right.
Yeah, so I want to throw a question out to everybody. What are some lessons that you've learned in business that are a stark contrast in the military? Some ways that you operate in the military that's frowned upon in corporate America or as an entrepreneur?
Well, I'll speak first. I've learned to adjust as an entrepreneur, you have to change your environment over time. You're changing with the trends. And in the military, it was always hurry up and wait. Mm-hmm. And you always had to change to what was going on. So that was a good lesson that I learned from my military experience that I was able to take into entrepreneurship. You got to shift sometimes.
Okay. All right.
I'd say the biggest difference that I've had to really work on, and I work on it all the time, is the way I communicate.
Mm.
I'm a pretty straightforward, straight shooter. And I can tell you my experience for the past 17 years in corporate America, people can't handle that.
Right.
They get very uncomfortable. Mm. They get threatened. And they just don't like it. Mm-hmm. You know, they tap dance.
Right. And that's what we talked about last time.
Right. My communication style is something I'm constantly working on as well. And certainly doesn't always go over the same way it does within a group of veterans.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But
different.
Yes.
I can tell you when I'm talking to a bunch of vets, talk way different than I do if I'm sitting in a corporate conference room.
That's very true.
Way different.
Yep. And you have to in a little bit, but it's not about making the corporate side lean more toward the vet side or vice versa. You just have to have more situational awareness and which style of communication you need to adapt.
Absolutely.
And some of these veterans, you know, they join the military when they're 18. Right. They got out at 24. They don't know what civilian life is like. Their first experience is after, you know, 4 or 5 years in the service.
And, you know, on the enlisted side, you're not exposed to a whole lot if you join in at 18 and get out, you know, 10 years later, 5 years later, you live that lifestyle your whole adult life.
And you know, the Army did a little bit for me in my transition out, you know, with some resume writing help, maybe, you know, went through ACAP and stuff.
Sure.
But once that final day was over, I was all alone in a big world, not knowing where to turn.
Right.
And we want to make sure that the veterans don't just get lost at that moment, that transition is a huge pivot point in their life, and staying connected and staying involved is the way to keep them, you know, finding a new direction in life.
And there's that moment, everyone's, the grass is always greener. So when you're in, you can't wait to not shave and not have to go to PT at 6 a.m.
Yep.
Right. And then when you're finally out,
like,
it's
damn
real,
I wish I could do that again. Yeah.
You know, and that's the irony of it all, right?
It
so, and it is scary when you're finally out, and there is no more, you know, barracks and first sergeant and telling me where to go and what to do. You're literally on your own. And I think after the honeymoon wears off of a couple months, and you have to figure out what you're really going to do with your life, right? And that's where a lot of the folks, you know, that I know personally, and then through my work, kind of fall into, you know, maybe have a little too much whiskey because they're a little stressed out, you know,
sure,
or think about doing some dumb things that are permanent. And that's kind of where, you know, Team Red, White, and Blue, we try to prevent a lot of those problems, depression, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, because if we can catch you before and bring you into the community, and we all wear this shirt right here.
Yes.
You know, everyone wears the same thing when they work out. It's not PT and it's not the military, but it's, you know, kind of like right now, people all have a similar experience as we're connecting and talking about our time transitioning out. And it's just, it's a safety net and it's a community. And there's someone you could call when you need to go grab a cup of coffee and just kind of talk.
And that was a huge difference for me as a woman. It was a difference wearing a uniform and coming out, having to wear heels, accessories, and kind of figure it out all over again. It was a very big challenge for me.
I never thought about that myself.
Yeah, neither did I.
Because you're in a man's uniform.
Right.
And now you have to come to civilian life and dress feminine.
Right.
So that was a big transition of what I talk about in my book as well.
So it can help the women fit in a little easier when it comes to the corporate culture. But I think today's show is a really good example of three things that really need to be involved with that veteran. You get the outreach organization and Team Red, White, and Blue, the entrepreneurship road, like Tanya's on, and then the corporate road that that John took. So one of those decisions has to be made. And really, you could do all three, but by doing nothing, you're not doing yourself any favors at all.
That's very true, Ryan. Do you feel that do you guys feel that corporate America it might be a better transition for officers, or do you think that it's possible for enlisted side, you know, or do they might have to do a little bit more work?
It depends on, I can tell you from so the company I work for, there's such a wide variety of opportunity. It ranges from warehouse management Mm-hmm. I mean, you have consumer goods. Name your consumer goods company. I'll guarantee they got warehouse management. They've got, so it spans the spectrum. So everything from the corporate head office where you're wearing a tie right. every day to you're wearing, coveralls mm-hmm. and working on the manufacturing floor, making stuff, whatever that stuff is.
Right.
So I think the missing link is that I've seen consistently is the specialties that it is in all services is the warrant officers. They're missed because people don't really talk about them a lot. I mean, there are your technical experts.
Yes.
They know. I mean, so you get someone that's a warrant that's in supply chain, bam, stick them in a warehouse management and just sit back and watch them. Mm-hmm. It'd be amazing what they get done. I think the senior NCO Corps does very well. I know in the world I came from, in the supply chain side, they do very well. What they've got to do is they got to kind of get over I was a sergeant major, or right. I was a first sergeant, or the other side of it is
sure.
I was a battalion commander or brigade commander. Get over it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Take all your awards and decorations yeah. and stick them in a shadow box and put them on your I love me wall and forget about it. Mm. And you got to move on. And that's mm-hmm. all part of the transformation side. You got to transform who you are and forget about all that because nobody knows what that means anyway.
Right.
So just kind of move on and then focus on the job at hand. Get a job. Try and transform yourself and integrate yourself back into the world.
Yeah, get connected, get out there, meet other people
sure.
who've been through the same situation.
That's
don't stay alone and then worry and expect things to come to you. You've got to get out there.
And that's where Vetlanta comes into play a lot.
That's true. And for those who don't know, Vetlanta is a club operated exclusively for veteran social and business network in the community purposes to foster and collaboration among Atlanta area businesses who support veteran-oriented initiatives.
Exactly.
So there's such a need for this. And it's so glad to hear that Vetlanta is doing that. But what does Vetlanta need more of? Do you need more members? Do you need more supporters from the corporate side of things? What do you need more?
We're a young organization, so we're really only about 3 years old. This next tomorrow evening, we're going to be unveiling a new initiative that the executive team we've met a few times, and we're establishing seven pillars. Don't ask me what the pillars are.
Okay, I won't.
The seven pillars of what we're going to stand for, and they're going to involve getting people involved in Vetlanta that come from nonprofit organizations like Team Red, White, and Blue. One of the pillars is health
yes.
or fitness.
Yes.
Well, guess what? You guys are running PT all the time. You know, I had to get my big ass out there. But anyway, getting all of these organizations involved in bringing these groups together from a governmental side, non-governmental side, for-profit, not-for-profit, and Vetlanta is smack in the middle of all of that. We're trying to orchestrate all of this to really turn Atlanta into the destination for veterans to come to.
I think that's awesome. And we want to help that here at Veterans Connect Radio for sure, because Atlanta has so much to offer in the business community. There is a wide variety of military retirees here and such. So why not, you know, have a place that they can all go to get the resources they need, whether they are first time getting out or they've been in the service for 20 plus years and are getting out. So Atlanta is a good first stop.
Well,
I guess for everybody.
You know, think about it. The people that we have in that come from the Fortune 500 companies in Atlanta, we are vets. We know we know how to get into these companies.
Yes.
So, for example, Lloyd, who's the chairman, works at UPS. Well, he knows the politics of UPS. Mm. And if you're wanting to get a job at UPS, I'd talk to Lloyd and figure out how to get in, because half the battle is, do you have the right network to get into the job? The network's going to get you a job. Not the internet.
Well, that's the thing that I think you were speaking earlier about enlisted versus officer in corporate America. A lot of folks don't know how that works, right? Because in the Army, you sign a piece of paper and you have a job.
Yep.
How to network and how to give someone a business card and give them an email the next day afterwards. Saying, you know, that's an art and a skill that a lot of people don't inherently know, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't think when it comes to officer enlisted in corporate America, I think on the enlisted side, they're not really taught how to self-advocate. Or self-promote, because it's kind of counterculture to everything that we do. And also, you know, mentorship is something that's ingrained in the Army, right? And in all services, right? It's formal. You sit down and write down on a piece of paper what your goals are and all that kind of stuff.
And they check in with you every 30, 60, 90 days about your goals.
And I think that would be, and in good organizations, that's what happens even in corporate settings, right? So you sit someone down, and, you know, you're new here. What do you want to learn? What do you need to know? And this is where you're doing. That's not, you know, for veterans, that's kind of intuitive and common sense, but that's not necessarily the case in a lot of other organizations. So right. Very well. I had a guy ask me last week to help write him a letter of recommendation for an MBA program, E5, with me, my second time in Iraq, helping advise the Iraqi army. He didn't like know his own value. I was like, brother, you advised an army infantry battalion in Iraq. We lived with them, like with another culture for a year.
Right.
You know, and I saw you do incredible things, but he, you know, he's like, I have no skills to write on this. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, but the translate that he knows what he did, and right. putting into words that someone who will be hiring him could understand
sure.
and put into perspective. I think no, that is a
cross-cultural training and building yeah. small teams and goal setting. I mean, he just needs to know the language yeah. and have the self-confidence, not the confidence, but the dig it over yourself.
Yeah.
You can self-advocate. You've done some amazing things.
Right.
It's okay to put them on paper to get yourself a job. You know, I always tell a story of you know, one of my old gunners. You know, we just got all these drones fueled, the Cold Ravens. And I said, hey, here's a book on it. I need you to learn how to do this. The next day, he's like, hey, sir, this is how it works. He's throwing in the air. I mean, that kind of skill set.
Yeah.
You know, I gave him a book the night before. It looked like a telephone book. The next morning, we're flying it and seeing overhead view. I mean, how do you put that on paper, right? The ambition, the team player, like for the good of the cause. And that's where I think there's so many lessons lost. In translation, literally. I mean, mm-hmm. I would hire that guy no matter what business I was running.
Right.
I'll teach him, he'll learn, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that kind of goes back to what Tanya said, she, you know, about being overqualified. And sometimes when you're putting some of these skill sets on paper, you feel like you're kind of overdoing it, right? Mm-hmm. I helped mentor a Iraqi infantry battalion, yeah. right? How do you translate to, I'm going to help with this team,
sure.
team building, right? And it almost feels funny, you talking how you're going to put this great big thing that you did on this little piece of paper to get something that might not be as big.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I want to work for UPS, but I helped secure 22 polling sites in the Iraq's first ever right. provincial elections. Like,
how do you go from that to that
I mean?
and be serious about it, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, that is about getting over yourself.
Well, it is perspective as yeah. well. You gotta understand that a lot of times the folks that you're interviewing with have zero perspective of what you're talking about. Their
right.
perspective of the military is what they hear on the nightly news or how many times they saw Apocalypse Now.
Mm. Right.
And that's their perspective, which is wrong. So you got to be able to level set them so they understand where you're coming from. And that is missing. I will tell you, that is an opportunity that we're looking at in Vetlanta is to educate HR folks.
Yeah, who don't have managers. Any veteran experience, either in their family or themselves, that they
it's
don't have
gap.
Any context for it all.
It's a huge gap. And it's not, so you can imagine if you put together a task force of people inside Vetlanta, you know, work for Coca-Cola, work for Delta, work for Home Depot, work for UPS. You put together all these folks from different companies, and we make a round robin and start visiting these companies and hitting HR people up and give them an OPD. Oh, I say OPD. See, I said flashback. That was a flashback. You give them a class, basically military 101,
mm-hmm.
so you can ground them. Because nobody in those companies is doing this.
Yeah. No, I may have on my resume, you know, Sergeant McPherson, but she doesn't know the difference, or he doesn't know the difference, the hiring person, between private, sergeant, or sergeant major.
Well, and they go, McPherson, didn't we close that?
Yeah, that's right. Don't you have a Ford already named after you?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Didn't we close that down south?
Like, I know what that means. I could give you a task and purpose and come back in 3 days, and it's done beyond what I even said, you
right.
know, versus, and that's that changing perception is a gigantic point because, you know, do you have PTSD? Are you going to freak out if
yeah, but
if
what does that mean?
Noise?
Yeah, right.
I mean, mm-hmm. they're always kind of just, you know, oh, you're a veteran, you've been downrange, or they're always kind of perceptions that people think of,
yes.
right? And is that case? Certainly, in some cases, it is, absolutely. But far and beyond, there's 2 million veterans coming back, reintegrating society.
Yeah, tons are going to need this service. Going to need help with resumes. Going to
yes.
need help with integrating and communicating. And you know, there's all kinds of resources out there, but it seems to be spread out and no one really like hub for it all.
Well, so now with Vetlanta.
That's
Vetlanta.
Right. Here, yeah, right. And so, so Vetlanta is a place to go, ladies
that's
and gentlemen,
it.
If you're here in Atlanta for sure. For you, Tanya, what's next for you? What's on the horizon for you and your brand and all that?
Well, my first stop is book signings.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to do locally here. I'm going to do several book signings, and then I'm going to go to Military Post and do some book signings across the nation as well.
I think that's a fantastic idea. Yes. Get out there where those vets are actually in the midst of transition.
Yes, and I also have an opportunity to people to donate books to other women veterans as well. So they can donate, give some to a book or just purchase a book that I would give to another veteran.
Mm-hmm. Are there any resources that you leaned on when you got out and transitioned and began to start your own business?
The SCORE program here in Atlanta has been very helpful for me. A lot of free information. You have your mentorship that's available at SCORE as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, through the SBA.
Yes.
And we've heard about them, and the SBA has certain programs you can sign up for that are veteran friendly. And if you're looking to start your own business or get started out there.
Are there multiple offices, or is it one centrally located place?
There's multiple offices in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So just Google SCORE.
SCORE.
Yeah. All right.
Yep. Right. And most importantly, just get, once you're transitioning, get connected with somebody. You know, find somebody that you want to pattern your life after who's already been out of the service.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Get involved somehow through a social outreach program or start giving back. I think that truly is just, don't wait a day or two. Go that next day of freedom out of the service and get involved somehow, some way for sure. So I think that's good.
All right.
And then, John, what's next for you? Boots to Loafers. Is there going to be a part two to this book? Or where can people find this book now?
You can get it out at www.bootstoloafers.com. I have it in Nook, Kindle. I have it in audiobook.
Good.
I also have a PDF version. You can go directly to my website and download it for, the cost of lunch, basically.
Right. You should have the audio version read by a drill sergeant. That way, the message gets home a little bit more.
They may have flashbacks.
Hey, you, private, get over here. But that's good.
Yeah.
So that's a military transition, coaching, resume review, everything you need to position yourself for for that job that you want in corporate America.
That would be correct. And I think, The sweet spot for this book is an active duty soldier, sailor, airman, or Marine that's probably looking at 12 months until they're out because you really have got to start early. I mean, I can tell you back when I first did my resume, it took a year because I was like, okay, I kind of know what a resume is. What I thought was a resume, I showed it to somebody after I finished and they're like, I don't even understand what the heck you did. It was like full of acronyms and everything. I'm like, so it's tough.
It is tough for sure. And you're starting, you mentioned you finished 17 years at Coca-Cola, 20 years. What's next for you? Are you going to?
I'm taking the month off.
Going to travel?
Mm-hmm. I'm actually heading to the British Virgin Islands next week.
You and Richard Branson are going to be hanging out, I guess. Huh?
I actually I've looked at his island.
Okay.
It's at a distance. He has these real big black zodiacs that are going everywhere down there.
Secret Service protecting
it's ourselves. A great place. I go down there every year and go sailing and diving and swimming and
good.
Stuff.
Good. And for our researching you a little bit, you like to paddle too, right? You like to get on the rivers and do some paddling. Got some new adventures planned that way?
I do. I have a river trip planned for August in Middle Fork River, Idaho. For a week in the backcountry, have a group that's called, we're called the Parrot Head Paddlers.
Uh-huh.
We've been around for about 40 years. So we're all Jimmy Buffett freaks. And we do canoe expeditions. And the minimum mileage is at least 100 miles.
Right.
And we'll head out and we'll paddle 100 miles and just have a good old time.
That does sound fun to me. I enjoy being on the water and I do enjoy Jimmy Buffett from time to time as well.
Yes, it's great.
I like to use the row machine.
Yeah.
Does that count?
You don't go anywhere on that.
No.
Concept too.
Well, for those listeners who don't know, John has been featured on the Mike Huckabee Show, the Dennis Miller Show, and now Veterans Connect Radio, so we can put that on his resume for sure. So, all right, thank you so much. And Garrett, what's next for you and Team Red, White, and Blue? I know I'm going to be at Pat's Run April 23rd.
We will be there,
You'll
of course.
Be out there as well, running and supporting the Pat Tillman Foundation. But there's always events going on a weekly basis, right?
Sure. So I'm also the Atlanta chapter captain. We're chapter-based. And in the city, we've got, I think, 6 or 7 weekly consistent events, whether that's running, yoga, CrossFit. We're going to Braves game next month. And if you just go to www.teamrwb.org and type in your email and zip code, you'll be routed to the right chapter and you'll get a calendar of events. Apart from that, we do a lot of leadership development and athletic camps. So last year we did rock climbing and Tommy Caldwell, who's the best rock climber in the world, taught it. And then we do a lot of leadership development training there. And then with the expectation that you go back and you're a leader in your chapter. But I do think it's important to note that anyone can join Team RDBB. You don't have to be a veteran.
Free to join.
Free to join.
Website. You get a free t-shirt.
Nike.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Nike's a big partner, so you get a Nike Dry Fit workout shirt when you sign up. And you go to, you know, whatever events you want to go to. And it's just about building community and building camaraderie. And in Atlanta, we're about 50-50. A lot of patriotic civilians here in Atlanta. So about 50% veterans and a lot of civilians. And it's just a great way to connect to the community and to build some authentic relationships.
And you don't have to do PT all the time.
No.
Correct? Okay.
All right. So that's a mess with our mistress. Everything's just run all the time. But whether it's a Braves game or, you know, we go to...
You're not running to the Braves game, though, right?
No.
Okay.
Well, you guys were recently out there giving back to Habitat for Humanity.
Habitat. So, you know, we did a Habitat build. And so a lot of folks I'd never seen before were like, finally, you're doing something that's not running. I'm like, well, guys, you got to let me know what you want to do. Yeah. So we had about 30 folks show up and we built a house with Habitat. And we're looking to do a lot more kind of community service oriented projects. So I got to plug the other ones. Mission Continues and Rubicon are kind of our Rubicon peers.
Yeah.
Each one has a kind of a different mechanism for building community. Team Rubicon is through disaster relief. So they'll take veterans and send them to places that need help with disasters, which is a genius idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mission Continues also was growing here in Atlanta. And that's another nonprofit that helps veterans by doing community service projects. We're all, you know, kind of on the same purpose and cause, right? And so I'm a big believer in that a rising tide lifts all boats. And I don't care what shirt you're wearing, Mission Continues, Rubicon, Team Red, White, and Blue, as long as you're getting what you need and getting community and, you know, in a lot of these cases, just organic mentorship and friendship, right? So somebody, like you said earlier, comes to an event and meets you and they work at Coca-Cola, then maybe someday you grab a cup of coffee and you explain them how the world works and, you know, who to talk to, you know, and that's kind of the evolution of where we're going now is just mentorship and all those kind of things. So
more members, just more outreach, more community involvement. Sounds like just more great things coming from Team Red, White, Blue.
A lot of growth. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And that's kind of our mission here at Veterans Connect Radio is bringing folks together to connect, talk about the different things that they can get involved with and certainly enrich their lives afterwards because the military was such a big part of our life. No matter where you served or what service you were in or you know, what your job was, we all went through it together. So let's continue to help one another post-military life for sure. So thank you to all the guests for being in here today. Thank you, Brandon, for another fantastic show.
Always glad to be here.
Good. How can people get in touch with you or reach out to you if they want to talk to you?
Well, I'll be at Vet Atlanta's
Q2 Summit
tomorrow.
Yep.
And then I'll also be at Vet Buds on April 20th, and that's a breakfast, 7:30 at Uptown Cafe in Johns Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, B. Skolnick at legion13.vc.
All right.
Also, I'm working with Mobilization Capital. Right, we're always looking to fund your government contract. So
okay.
I like the plug.
Thank you so much to everyone for joining us here today. Thank you to Alex for producing another fantastic show. And thank you, listeners, for getting involved. If you know someone out there who is a veteran and would like to be part of the show, be featured for the good work they're doing, send me an email at rmcpherson@businessradiox.com and pitch us the story. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.